This is Kayla Croder, and I will be interviewing Valerie Childers. The interview is taking place at her home in Collinsville, Illinois. Valerie lived in West Alton, Missouri during the 1993 flood. She is now working as a home healthcare aide. Thank you, Valerie, for doing the interview with me. So, the first question is, where were you born, and what was it like growing up?
I was born at Missouri Baptist in St. Louis. What was your question?
What was it like growing up?
I had a really good childhood. Parents were really good to me. I liked where we lived before we lived to West, moved to West Alton.
Where was that?
I lived over off of 367, over in North County. And the reason we moved was Dad got a letter. State and I was a... going to be, pardon me, bust into the inner city schools to go to school. And he said, no, I'm not sending my daughter to a city school. That's when we moved to West Alton when I was 12. Big change for me because I had a bunch of friends in North County that I had nobody I knew in West Alton.
Whenever you moved to West Alton, what was it like? What were your initial thoughts since you were 12?
My initial thoughts was I don't know what my parents were thinking moving me to Hillbilly Hicksville, if you want to say so. I hated it. There was no stores around. All you seen was farmland and houses. And the bus ride to school was alone at least 35 minutes. We were out in the middle of nowhere as far as I was concerned as a 12-year-old.
Where were the schools located?
In St. Charles. So it was like a 30-minute ride up there and a 30-minute ride back. And to top it off, the bus ride wasn't very good because I didn't know my bus driver. I couldn't stand her.
Why?
She's a smart ass. Pardon my French. But any time I could be mean to her, I did it. I admit, I shouldn't have. But that was my way of, I guess, kind of dealing with the fact that I was moved somewhere I didn't want to go to. So, I hated it there. Hated it. Wasn't until I got a little bit older, I guess. My brother Danny was little. I guess he's about 3 or 4, and I finally started meeting some friends, and I actually really adjusted to it okay. So I met some friends and met my best friend out in West Alton. Best friend. She's not here no more, but I was thankful to meet her. Changed my life. So West Alton was, I don't know, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be until we had a lot of scares with the flood before then. People would have to move everything, move in and move out. And there's a lot of times you get water around you that you didn't get water in your house. I think I was 14 at the time. We had water all around us, but we could still, you know, people on 94 had water. And there was water on several different spots on our street where traffic couldn't get in and out. But you could still live in your house because we had no water there. And we had to walk across the field and down the railroad tracks through town to catch a bus at pit stop off of Highway 94. And it took us at least 35 minutes to walk that. And then an hour ride to school roundabout. And then a walk back home. You know, and we did this when I was a kid several times because the water had come up. But I dealt with it because that's where my parents, I guess in a way it was a good place to raise your kids because you was just like, you weren't in a city loop where, you know, kids were, for lack of better words, being raised better there than they are in city schools or in schools period these days. Because people took care of people, neighbors cared about neighbors out there. Whereas in the city, they could care less. So, I don't know. Just a different time in my life.
So, whenever you're talking about being on, you know, walking through the fields and the train tracks and the water, I mean, like, how, whenever you had to do that, how deep was the water, if you would, you know, if you had to guess, and how bad, you know, how many days did the roads get closed when that happened?
I know we had to walk the railroad tracks at least a couple of weeks for the water to recede. How deep was the water? In some spots, depending on how low the houses sit, some, where we lived, there was a little, I guess I called it a little gully in between there. It sat lower than the rest of the houses did. When the flood water come up, that was the first spot that got water, right down there by Mom. And it'd come back to the field and go into that gully, and then it would spread out from there and go into Mom and Dad's yard and the Schroeder's yard. And then it would eventually go across and fill the ditches and then the fields across. But we was always pretty much out of that area before it actually started getting that deep. Like I said, there was a couple of times they'd had floods before, but never got as bad as 93. 93 was... In 93, when we had the 93 flood, I lived in town about, oh, I guess, about 2 miles from Mom and Dad's, maybe a mile and a half. Me and my daughter Cassie lived in town, and it started, the Missouri and Mississippi were both coming up, and the Army Corps of Engineers said for everybody in town to put their stuff up 4 feet, which you wouldn't move out or take it with you, to put it up at least 4 feet. So I went and got me a bunch of little milk crates and put my furniture, what I couldn't take with me, on milk crates in my refrigerator, my stove, my washer and dryer, my couch, stuff like that. I put up at least 4 feet. I had a lot of milk crates. But they said we shouldn't get no more, maybe 4 feet, maybe not even that. But the gentleman down off of Highway 94 decided to bust the levee. And when he busted the levee, it flooded town too. So I was caught between this river. And when the water first started coming in, I remember standing on the railroad tracks right there in the front of town. And Mom was standing on one side of me, and Cassie was in the middle of us. We were holding our hands, and that water was just meeting and just rushing and rolling underneath that, what you call a train track trestle. You know what? That's what we called it. And that water's just rolling and hitting these stop signs and moving stuff all through town, logs, trees, just, and I could see the water coming up and going into my apartment. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no way I'm only going to get 4 feet in this apartment. I've lost what left I had put behind. And then, come to find out, the Army Corps of Engineers had said that everybody in town, or I talked to one of them, and he said that people, I asked him about my specific home, because I had lived lower level from somebody else. And he said, not only did it fill my apartment, but it got 4 feet above me. And this is like a townhome. So it filled the apartment downstairs. It got 4 feet upstairs. So that water was really deep. I don't know. It just changed things for me. No, everyone moved back to West Dalton. So, any more questions?
Yes. Whenever you were describing the the water rushing, you know, underneath the trestles, I mean, whenever you were saying, like, you saw, like, the logs and, you know, the timber being picked up, did you see, like, any houses or anything?
I didn't see any houses. I seen trees. I seen cars. Never seen a... I mean, I didn't see the houses come under the trestle, but on farther down, you could see some of the roofs And there was one house, in particular on the other side of the railroad track, that wasn't coming through town, but it was rolling, like, right in front of the trestle there on out in the field. And the house was just rolling. And it was going under and the roof coming back up, going under and the roof coming back up. So all you could see was the bottom of the house and the roof as it tumbled.
Very, very scary.
Yeah. It's like, so like I said, when the floodwaters went down, I went out with my mom and dad. The first time the waters come up and went down, they went out there, and the Army Corps and the engineers took them out there, and the floors had caved in. It's okay. I can fix this. Floodwaters come back up again. Water went down. Dad went out. Ceiling caved in. Dad said, okay. I can still do this. I can still rebuild. Water went back down. You see, it went up and down for a while. Even after that. After the big rush of flood, it went up and down for a while. Floodwaters went down. Tornado come through there. Tore the whole back of the house off. Dad went back out there. After the water went down, everything settled. Took a look at the house. He said, All right, Lord, I got what you want me to do. I'm not coming back. You know, because it was just, I think it was a sign. I think it's time for you to move on to bigger and better things. Yeah, it was scary. Because I'm really scared of water getting over my head. And standing on those trestles, when I was younger, with my daughter in my hand, I had a tight grip on her. I'm just thinking that water's going to come up over that trestle and take me and Mom and Cassie with it. It was scary.
Whenever the water was coming up and people were starting to, you know, evacuate and what have you, did you still stay in contact with those people? I mean, did they come out and help one another? How did all that work?
There was several people that I knew out that way that I have talked to. I guess, are you trying to say if we kept in touch? Is that what you're trying to ask?
Well, yeah.
That would help move.
That and, like, you know, when the waters were coming up and everything, did you help one another as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Neighbors always went to, what was his name? Jimmy and Carol Grimwald. They were our neighbors across the street. And when the floodwater come up and hit and went back down that time, and everything was said and done after the flood of 93, Jim asked Mom and Dad when he seen what happened. Mom and Dad's house was basically just a shell. You know, there wasn't hardly nothing to, it was like having a $100,000 house be destroyed by a tornado and a flood. When the back brick wall of the house, or the back of the house was just a brick wall. And when that was gone, you could look and see, all you could see is 2x4s in the back of the house, and you could look straight through the house. It took out picture. Mom had a real pretty picture window in the front. All the windows were gone. The doors were floating. No one knows where the doors or the windows went. But it was just like something had went through. I don't know quite how to explain it. Instead of just the water had come through, true. But it also was like a tornado in itself. It'd go down and come back up, go down and come back up. So as to make sure that it had destroyed the house to where he'd have to gut the house and knock it completely down to redo it. And that's just something that my dad wasn't wanting to do anymore. And that's when he moved to Blackjack for a couple of months. And then he ended up moving in over here, and I ended up moving in over here with them. I've went different places, but I've always come back here.
So whenever the flood waters had finally receded and, you know, you were able to go back into your house, can you describe that for me?
Oh, my apartment?
Yeah.
Floodwaters had went down, and we had a, I rented the apartment, and the my landlord asked me to meet the adjuster there because he couldn't meet him. I went in and I looked all around the apartment. I wouldn't go in. Something couldn't bring me to go into the apartment. So I stood outside and looked through the windows and stuff, through all my windows. I went around and looked through all of them. And the adjuster showed up, said, okay, would you, I have boots on. And he said, okay, would you like to walk through the apartment with me? I said, no. I said, what I just seen in that window there, I do not want to walk through that apartment. You can walk through it by yourself. And he said, why don't you want to walk through it with me? I said, I just seen a snake slither through the living room into the hallway into the kitchen. I said, you can go in there by yourself. No, I'm not going anywhere where the snake's at. Mm-mm. So,
it was an experience. Was there a lot of mud?
I guess there was about, I know at least a half foot to a foot of mud in there, if not more.
So, and it was... stank. Oh, awful. Smells so bad. And,
there was nothing left in my apartment. I mean, I had my washer and dryer. You know, I put everything up on those milk crates, but it didn't help anything. The water was too strong for the milk crates to hold anything. It just knocked everything all through the apartment. Walls, knocked out walls and windows and doors. And somebody asked me one time after this if I would do this again. And I said, would I move back to West Alton? And they said, yeah. I said, nope. Couldn't pay me enough. I wouldn't go through that again. Nope.
Cassie. You said that she was, you know, a child, really little.
Yes. She was... I guess after seeing the water run through under those trestles, and, I mean, the water wasn't there anymore, but I think the thought that run through her head, her being so little when it happened, she was scared to even walk into that apartment or go even near Mom and Dad's house for thinking that, okay, if she turns around, that water's going to be right there coming at her again. But I thought for years that after she went through the flood of 93 that this child would be scared of water. She was for a while. She's not anymore. I am still. So. What else was it I seen? My mom, one time, before the flood hit, they were talking about a flood, and she went down the street, down the road, to Red Schoolhouse Road, which is a street that kind of connected with Sally Road, where we lived, and... the water was already up over there. And she said, Lord, just how much water are we looking at? And she said, everything just went black. So she says she went back to tell Dad, you know, that, you know, she said she asked the Lord, what, how much water are we looking at? And everything went black. She told Dad and our neighbor, Ray, they all thought my mom was crazy. The first time the water came out up there at Mom and Dad's house, I remember her telling me that when they went out to see the house, the Army Corps of Engineers took them out by boat to see their house after the water had settled and started to recede. All they could see on their house was the top part of the house, and it was black. that just, to me, when she told me all she seen was black, and I asked her, I said, well, what do you think that means? She said, I don't know what it means, but I know it's going to be bad. I don't think anybody, honestly, I don't think anybody thought it was going to be as bad. Even the Army Corps of Engineers, I don't think they thought it was going to be as bad as it was. I mean, why would they tell you to only put things up 4 feet if that's all they expected?
Right.
You know, I do know that the guy that busted the levee out in West Alton to save his property ended up taking refuge at the Salvation Army downtown St. Louis at the Harbor Light. And the reason I know this is because, I guess about 3 or 4 years later, I married my husband, and he worked for the place, and I remember his boss telling me about a guy that, you know, had ruptured the levee in West Alton to save his house, and he was taking refuge up in the church there where the police couldn't come and get him and nobody else could come and get him. I don't ever was know what happened to him. They ever caught him? They ever did anything to him? I just know that he was up there in the church, and that was the last I heard of anything that man. I don't even know where if he ever got caught for doing what he did. Because when he ruptured that levee where he lived, that caused town to flood. The town of West Alton wasn't supposed to flood. Only people like out in West Alton are people out like off Sally Road, Highway 94, Red Schoolhouse Road, those were the ones that were in jeopardy of getting water. Town wasn't supposed to get it until he ruptured the levee in town, or down to where he lived. And when he ruptured that levee to save his house, town flooded. So where I was at in West Alton, we were getting it from the Missouri River and the Mississippi River all at once. Mom and Dad had already pretty much got flooded. I hadn't got flooded at the time yet. So I thought I could just stay where I was at, you know. They said four feet. I'll move out for a little bit and that'd be it. I thought I'll be able to go back. You know, we'll paint the walls and pull up the carpet and I'll help my landlord do all this. Because my landlord was a older gentleman, you know, him and his wife were. And they were very good to me and my daughter. I said, well, I could just kind of help him repaint and do what has to be done to get the house back and the apartment back in order. I'll move in. After that happened, I wanted no part of it. I didn't want to go back.
Well, you were talking about the man who busted the levee to save his house. Did he save his house, or did it end up going underwater as well?
No, he lost his house too. The turnabout, I guess, was fair play. He lost his too. He thought he was going to save his property and his neighbor's properties by busting the levee. He took a boat to it. He ran a boat into the levee to rupture the levee. But I remember talking, standing there at the, standing there talking to one of the Army Corps of Engineers when I got flooded out. And he said, had the guy, basically, what he was saying was, whether he ruptured the levee or not, we were looking to get quite a bit of water in town anyway. He was just relieving the stress because he didn't come right out and say it, but he said the levees out in West Alton wasn't the best levees to have. You know, they weren't really strong enough to survive something like that. Comes up like that. Of course, now they've redone them. They're better levees than what they were before. I know, as rough as it sounds, being through the flood and all, if it wasn't for the Salvation Army and, you know, goodwill and
some churches and stuff, which bought me and my daughter, you know, clothes, stuff like that that we needed. I'd be in a lot worse shape than what I was. I mean, that's when Salvation Army, Red Cross, they come through for people with disasters.
So, whenever, you know, during the flood, you and Cassie, your daughter, were living in the apartment, and your mom and dad were still taking care of the boys.
Right.
And how, like, from, you know, an older sibling perspective, like, how were the boys doing? Were they scared, nervous? I mean, Dan was probably, you know, a teenager, but Tim and Kevin were young.
Kevin was a baby, so I don't, he's only, my daughter's only 15 months younger than my younger brother, my baby brother. So him and Cassie both were really kind of young to understand what was going on around them. That they were both scared. But I believe the one that I think was the most scared out of that was my brother Tim. He was, how old was Tim? I don't even remember how old Tim was. What was he, 5 or 6? And he, I think he honestly thought when the flood water come in and he seen the water that no matter where he went, this water was going to get him. Where it was like going to follow him wherever he went. To this day, I don't think he talks too much about it. I know I haven't given it much thought for several years. But it's always in the back of your mind when you go through something like that. You don't quite know how you're going to deal with something when it happens. I did a lot of crying. My mom did a lot of crying. Did a lot of praying. Because we didn't know when the water was up. We didn't know what we were going into when the water went down. We didn't know what we were going to find. There were some people that, like my parents, lost everything they had. You had to rebuild. And there's still several neighbors that got flooded like we did that still live in that area. I have, well, I guess this was a couple months ago. I went over to get gas. It was right over there by the pit stop, right up there off of Highway 94. I drove down through there. Where Mom and Dad's old house used to be, where the apartment that I used to live in. The apartment that I used to live in is gone. It's not there. They tore it down. The little tavern in town is not there. Got rid of the post office. The post office is sitting on in a trailer, a makeshift trailer, up there sitting on the parking lot of Pit Stop. They never rebuilt the post office there. My friend Tammy's house, they tore it down. Mom and Dad's house is gone. But the Schraders rebuilt it. Their grandma's across the street rebuilt theirs. There's several people that I knew in that area had went back and redid their house. But I do believe that if my mom and dad's insurance company had told them what they should have told them ahead of time, they told them after the fact. Mom and Dad had so much money on the house and so much money on the contents of their house. It would, when they come out to adjust it, they had just done their kitchen floors. Beautiful floors. Just did their hardwood floors in the living room. They were working a little bit here and there to replace things, you know, to update the house, basically. And when the floodwaters receded, the insurance company agent, after the fact, had told them they could have got up to $100,000 worth of flood insurance on the house. They only had $45,000 on the house and $25,000 on the contents. And when that guy came out to adjust the house, told him just the house alone to rebuild the house the way they had it before, would have cost them about 80 grand. That's money Mom and Dad didn't have. I mean, they had the insurance and the contents, but that wouldn't have redone the house the way it was before. Things are too high. So Mom and Dad got a loan and ended up getting this house over here. Everybody likes this house. There's a real estate agent that sends her a letter every year telling her to let her know if she ever wants to sell the house. There's a lot of people that want this house. I like the house up in West Dalton. But would I move back? No. Can't put myself through that again.
So, when you're saying things about, like, you know, around the house and, you know, being built and things like that, or, you know, I guess what I'm getting at is, like, were there anything, like, special outside that, you know, that was built or anything for, you know, like, family gatherings or something like that?
No. I mean, they had a nice-sized yard. Dad had put in a big garage to put his truck and stuff in. And when I was younger, my mom had this little Suzuki 125 motorcycle that I just put a rut in the driveway, just a backyard, just ride it back and forth, back and forth. See, you can't do things like that over here. Back out there in the country, you can burn trash, you can ride dirt bikes on the road, you can horses. There's stuff like that you could do out there because there was never a cop around to stop you from riding out there on a four-wheeler with no drivers, no tags or anything on it. Here, you have to have tags on everything and stuff. I remember out in when we first, I guess this was right before the flood in 93. I got me a little moped. I was a kid. I drove the thing all over the highway. I pulled over one time. One time. The one time that you wouldn't expect a cop. I got pulled over. Told me I couldn't drive it on a highway without a license, so I drove it in the field the rest of the time. You couldn't get away with something like that over here. It's old country. It's the, you know, it's the country. It's basically like, how do I want to explain this? It's peaceful there, put it that way. All you basically heard was crickets at night. Mice you had a problem with when they plowed the fields. And that's one thing I can't stand is a mouse. Whether it was through the flood or harvest time, something always was going on in the house. Having problems with mice. I remember we got a little flood water one time. It was before 93. It was a, you know, we had problems with flood waters coming up off and on the whole time we lived out there. Nothing as bad as 93. Now, but the water had went down, and we had cleaned up, and I was younger at the time. I think I was about 14, 15 years old. My grandma come up to visit, and I was always afraid. We didn't get any water in the house. It was just around us, and I was always afraid that a snake would sliver somewhere in that house because of water all around us and stuff, and, I went downstairs to switch laundry one time, and Mom told me, bring the laundry back up and switch it around. And I had just turned on the basement lights, and I seen these two little beady eyes staring back at me over by the dryer. I dropped that basket of clothes, running up those steps, and Mom says, where's my clothes? I said, downstairs with the snakes, and you can keep it. I'm not going back down there. Couple days later, my grandma called me outside. She said, Valerie, come here. And I'm like, what, grandma? She goes, I got your snake. Come here. So, no, not going outside. wasn't a snake. It was a little salamander, and she'd cut its head off, and she thought it was a snake. You got to be out there. You'd be scared. I was scared of snakes. I didn't like mice. Raccoons. We have raccoons. We have possums. We even had several beavers just running around because it was out in the middle of the There's one little store in town. You basically had to drive up Highway 367. I know at least 10 miles to get to the nearest store. Little convenience store there in town, but they never had what you needed. Well, and if they did, it cost you an arm and a leg. That's one thing I hated about that place. I guess after bringing up some of these memories, it's not as bad as I thought it was. But it's a time in my life that I wouldn't want to go back and stay. It was really hard on my parents, though. I think a lot harder on my parents than it was on me. They were a little bit, they were older than I was. And they were able to bounce back better than they can. When you see how hard your parents work to have something, and then in a matter of just days, have it ripped out from underneath them, I understand what that means now. I was young then. I didn't think. I didn't put two and two together. No, I know.
Yeah.
It was a terrible time for them.
Well, your mom had mentioned that she had had, you know, her and Terry had the catering business in the house.
Yeah. I remember that. Having to completely regroup, I guess you would say, and adjust to moving from... There was lots of times when water would get in the basement, we'd have to move everything upstairs. You could still get in and out of town, just Highway 94 was blocked. There was several different times that I remember Dad having to cart stuff to town, using a wagon and us helping carry stuff, just so he could go to work. Then when the floodwaters hit, we took what we, you know, they took what they could. They had family come up and help, you know, several people brought trucks and helped move what they could. What they couldn't get to in time, they left behind. You had, the Army Corps engineers would tell you, you got to right here, this time, to get out safely. And when I had packed all my stuff up and I was helping my parents then, I had a friend watching my daughter. When we started packing stuff out, the last load that we took out, we had three or four trucks in my car, mom's car. And as we went to the end of the road, it was coming up on the street. And we had a puddle that we had to go through there for a while, at least 6 inches deep. Before the water had got there before they told us. You know, they give you this time frame, and the water was there before that time frame that they give you. So it's a good thing that we did what we could and got what we could and got out of there like we did. Because then we would have probably been trapped. And people would have lost their vehicles. You know, it's just a scary thought. I could picture all this in my mind. Talking about it's a little different than playing it back in your mind, if you know what I mean. When we got out of town, we parked our vehicles. They had Highway 94. There was two lanes going towards, I guess you want to say, 367 going towards, like, Jamestown Mall and then towards St. Louis County. And then you had the top two lanes on 94 going from North County to Alton. We had crossed the Alton Bridge. And the flood waters got so high, they had to close down the lower part of 94 and have one lane both ways. And even, I mean, I was an adult, and I see how high that flood water got on the lower part of 94. And I'm driving towards North County in my car, and I was always scared to death that one of those other cars would sideswipe me or hit me and knock me off into the flood water. And I was, you know, like I said, I'm scared of water, which was a bad thing to be scared of at the time. So it was just, I could just picture me being, you know, kind of trapped and can't get out of the car, or trapped and I can't swim to safety. I don't know, it's just, was a scary thought. But that thought never left me, though. When floodwaters come up like that, or water comes up like that, you constantly got something playing in your head. What if this happens? Or what if this happens? And you're scared that that's going to actually happen. You have thought about it so much that you almost think it's a reality that it can happen.
So, whenever you were going to North County, that was probably for your job, right?
No, that was just like, I think we were going towards North County to, that's when Mom and Dad had found him a place over in North County for a short period of time over by Jamestown Mall. They had him a log house, and they really liked the house. But the lady, the roof leaked so bad that she wanted too much money for him. That's when they decided they moved there from there. You know, we had moved several different times between now and moving to here. We started out in North County. Then we ended up in Blackjack, I believe, for a little while. Or no, that was Jamestown Mall is Blackjack. We lived in Blackjack, and then we moved to Ferguson, I believe, where until we could settle on, basically to decide whether Mom and Dad were going to go back or try to rebuild or find something else. And I guess Mom and Dad kind of had went back and forth about moving back. Do you want to go back and deal with this again? Or do you want to take the government's buyout and then buy your land? They went back and forth for a little bit on this. And then they both come to the decision that they didn't want to go through that again. So once they decided they didn't want to go back, they moved from Ferguson, which they knew they had to get out of Ferguson anyway. They moved from Ferguson to, where did they go? I think they came from Ferguson to here, because they lived in Ferguson for a while. They were looking for a place around here. And there was a place in Edwardsville that Dad liked. Mom liked this place here in Collinsville. So I guess they kind of weighed the options, and they decided they liked this house better. And they've been here, 25, 26 years now? Yep.
So after the flood, whenever, you know, you and your parents and your brothers, you know, they all decided to move over here to Madison County, Cassie was getting to the point where she could be in school and such like that.
Yes.
So what were the reasons why you, and not just your parents, but you yourself, why did you choose Madison County?
I guess because I'd stayed over here so much with them that I've gotten accustomed to being over here.
I have family over here. I didn't want to move somewhere that I didn't have any family. And this was where my family lived. So that's why I stayed here. I haven't lived here the whole 26 years. I moved out. I live in Randolph County, I believe, 2 years. And then I lived in Minnesota for a year. But the rest of the 26 years, I've been here in Collinsville. Except, no, I still live in Madison County, but, you know, I live in South Roxana now. But out of the 26 years, I've lived here 23. My parents have lived here 26, I've lived here 23. So, you know, I fluctuate. You know, I would rather stay here than, I guess I get used to being here. And when you, it's not that I really chose to move here, I guess. I guess it wasn't a decision I didn't really think about because I had my family here. That's why I stayed here. You know, we all get along, so, and I'd rather be close to family. And Cassie would rather be close to her grandparents, so that's why we stayed. She was the main source in that.
So, like, now, I mean, you had mentioned that before, that even you didn't really care for being here, you know, being here right away, but then you, you know, got accustomed to it, so you like it. What are the things now that you like about Collinsville, Roxana, and just Madison County in general?
There's a lot of different things I like. A lot of things different from West Alton. You have the convenience about every store or on every corner that you would need. Out there you didn't. I think the schools are better over here. The schools out there taught good, but I think the schools out here focus more on the kids. And if they see a kid falling behind here, they're pretty good about calling the parent and saying something's going on here. She's off course or he's off course and their grades are slipping. Then the teachers will work more with the parents and the students, whereas in West Alton, I don't know that the teachers really cared. I had one teacher out there in West Alton that cared about what happened to me and my grades or what have you. And at first, when I first met him, he was just a counselor. And it wasn't until I got in high school that he taught American history. And his name was Mr. Nunn. That's one man I'll never forget. That's the one guy that made it a little easier to go to school in St. Charles, if you know what I mean. It made a difference. I don't know. People over here, I don't know, they're just, for the most part, they're good people, you know. If you need them, they're there, but they don't get into your business. Whereas out in a little town like West Alton, it's this one's dating this one's wife, and this one's dating this one's husband. Like little Peyton place. Here, you don't hear too much about that over here. And the schools are better, like I said. And there's more job opportunities in this area than out in West Alton. There wasn't nothing but farming out there. You'd have to drive into the city to get a job anyway. So, I mean, there's a lot of jobs around here to where you won't have to take that drive.
So, in the future, I mean, what would you like to see change, you know, for anything in the county, Collinsville, Roxana?
In this day and age, I really wish for people to quit killing each other. Just plain and simple. A life is worth saving. Life is worth living. A
don't care what color you are. Just don't. There's too many people out in this world today that would rather, if they get into it with you, would rather pick up a gun and shoot you as talk to you about it. I wish that could change. I wish people could get along a little bit better. And that's about what I want.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to discuss?
If you got a question, I'll answer them.
No, I think you've done pretty well. Well, thank you for letting me interview you. I appreciate it.
Very welcome.